Hi, welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Drew Bonifant for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. We're into the high school football playoffs in Maine this week. Our guest this week is John Hersom, the head coach at Lawrence High School. Coach, playoffs are starting, but your team's kind of an unusual situation. The first bye you guys have ever had.
Right. We are in a bye, and we finished our second practice this week today with having a chance to go over to Colby College and work on their field. We did give them Monday off, the older kids. We had one JV scheduled game remaining, so the younger kids got to play. The older kids had the day off.
And, Coach, when you look at approaching this week from a bye perspective, is it almost nicer to have an opportunity to kind of focus more on in-house things on whether you need to cut down turnovers, whether you need to cut down on penalties versus having to, you know, bring another team into the consideration as well?
Right. We do spend a lot of time on fundamentals. This week especially, we can, really slow down a little bit and kind of focus on those things that we like to do. Add a few things, like today, for example, defensively, we were kind of focusing on gadget plays, reverses, screens, double passes. We've seen quite a bit this season. So that was just a segment of our defensive work. Normally, on a regular week, we wouldn't be able to spend the amount of time that we did today on those sort of things. So, yeah, it is a good feeling to be able to not worry about scheme so much, right, and just kind of focus on fundamentals and getting better that way.
It's kind of a chance to self-assess and work on some stuff that maybe, like you've said, you haven't been, the opportunity to have that.
Right. You always, in a week where you're preparing for a strong opponent, you're always kind of under the gun to get the work done. And always it seems like time is your enemy. But this week it is more relaxed feeling. We kind of have to accept that we're not playing this week, which is a little different for us, but the kids have handled it really well, and the coaches have come up with some good things to work on.
We always ask coaches coming in with byes whether it's the pros and cons of both. It's the week where you don't have to worry about a loss. It's the week where you can get healthier and everything. But it's also, if you've won a couple games in a row, it could be kind of that halt to momentum. Is that how the team wrestles with it too? Is that how you see it from your perspective?
Yeah, we kind of talked about that a little bit at the beginning of our week when we saw the kids after the weekend. We said, look, this is our scenario for the week. We need to be proactive about it. We can't kind of dwell on negatives about, not playing. And let's kind of look at some of the things that can be positive about it. So we really have focused on those things in our preparation for the week. One of the things that we've really tried to stay kind of intact this week has kind of been our regular schedule. So we haven't deviated from practicing hard. We haven't deviated much from practicing in a physical way, but we've just kind of eliminated the schematic things that you would try to do to get ready for a known opponent.
One thing that a lot of teams that get the bye can do is get healthy. One of your captains, Tyler LaRoche, was injured in the season finale against Maslowski the other night. Big key for you at fullback and defensive end. What can you tell us, if anything, about Tyler's status? Has it changed yet?
Well, Tyler's been great all season. His strength, the biggest asset for us as a football team that Tyler provides is his running ability. Right. We are a running team, of course, and a lot of it has been on Tyler's shoulders throughout the season. Yes, he did go down with a pretty serious injury to his knee against Maslowski and left the game. We had a good replacement, a junior, Matt White, step in and do a nice job. Right now, Tyler's status is still kind of questionable. He has been seen by a doctor. He has been issued a brace to wear, so he can put some he can put some body weight on his leg as he walks around wearing the brace. The doctor has scheduled for an MRI, which he needs to, try to do as soon as we can, so that Tyler can know more about his injury.
Sure.
But it's definitely going to impede his progress with his soreness, his swelling. He has those symptoms, so we're just knowing that it's pretty serious.
Right. And coach, the winner of Coney Brunswick, awaiting. How much stock do you put into getting down to that, watching that game? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that game coming up?
Well, I've mentioned this a few times to Travis and some others. We don't really try to look too far in the future. We're kind of old-fashioned that way, I guess. We try to kind of really focus on what we need to do and concentrate on those things day to day, and try to map out some good plans for each day of the week. So yeah, we're gonna all go down and be a part of watching that game, and I don't really have any particular opinion on which team would prefer to play. These are high school kids; they all work pretty hard, and we respect every team that we face. So whether it's Coney or Brunswick, it really doesn't matter to us. We know that we're gonna be in a semifinal game on Kai's Field, and we know it's going to be quite a battle to come away victorious.
Whichever team it is, you've got some playoff history against them both, playing each in semifinals, quarterfinals, even regional finals, and a lot over the last 6 or 7 years.
Oh, yeah. It's been a lot of some recent battles between Coney especially. Some of the Brunswick games recently, they've kind of had the upper hand on us these last couple of years, but certainly our regular season game with Brunswick this year was quite a battle. So we're kind of anticipating that it will be much the same for both Coney and Brunswick, if whoever we face.
Sure. I think Brunswick is an interesting point because they've kind of defined or they've been kind of an example of a prevailing trait throughout the PTCB this year, which was just the quality of the league from start to finish. This was a team that was looking for its first win for much of the season. Now they come in with all these tough games on their ledger up to this point, and even for a 1-7 team, they're looking pretty dangerous. They got a lot of momentum to their side.
Yeah, they seem to be the one team nobody wanted to get in that first round.
Well, certainly tradition and being a part of the atmosphere of state championship games or Eastern regional games has been their MO the last several years, like you said. So just with that said, I think that's enough to, really have a coaching staff and their players, kind of on edge a little bit that, we've really got to prepare well for these guys. So their recent history these last several years is really concerning, I'm sure, to a lot of teams at this juncture of the playoffs.
Okay. Let's look at the Central Maine games featuring the local teams. And Drew, let's start with this Coney Brunswick game.
Yeah, I mean, Coney won the matchup this season, and it was a win that kind of helped get Coney going because they were 0-2, I believe, going into that game when they won it. But it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be a fight. Coney coming in off a tough loss to Gardner. Anytime they lose to Gardner, it's going to be a tough game. But losing in overtime the way they did, some turnovers, red zone struggles, and it just seems like every time Brunswick was playing a game against good teams, it was a 4-point game, a 7-point game, a 1-point game. So, I'm sure Coney likes the fact that it's at home. They can kind of hit the reset button in that way, but it's I don't think anybody's thinking this is going to be a runaway, and Coney's definitely not thinking that.
No. In the other quarterfinal game, we have number 5 Brewer at number 4 Messalonskee. This was a 36-33 game in Messalonskee's favor just a couple weeks ago. One thing that could be a question mark for Messalonskee is their star running back and the leading runner in the PTCB this year, Austin Pelletier, left the game against your team, coach, with a knee injury and is a question mark for this game. And Messalonskee has a lot of good runners, but to lose a guy who went for over 1,200 yards is got to always be difficult to replace. I imagine you've had injuries in the past, and it's never easy to fill that hole, especially this time of year.
Right. This time of year, and Austin has had a great career at Messalonsky, going over two and a half years possibly. But it is a tough injury to kind of ask to be able to replace going into a one game season, the playoff format. So, I'm hoping that, Austin was able to recover and can be a part of that game.
Yeah, and the winner of that game, of course, plays at number one, Skowhegan, next week. Drew, let's move on to Class C South, where Gardner's playing Morse.
Yeah, and Gardner's coming in with some momentum after they lost five in a row in the middle of the season, fell to 1-5, but always had a chance to put themselves into the mix because of a win over Morse, who they're playing next to start off the season. And they won. They beat Freeport, and then they beat Coney last week. So now they turn around and not only get back in the mix, but they get a home game out of this. And they have to feel pretty good about, not that they'd be taking Morse lightly, but that it's a team that they played and played convincingly and played and beat convincingly, beat them at their place. So now it's coming to a Hoke Field. What's really helped Gardner is that they've kind of gone away from totally committing to sharing the load to just saying Colin Foy is our best back and we're going to lean on him, and how Colin goes, we'll go. And he had a great game against Freeport, a great second half in particular, came to life against Coney as the Gardner offense started to find a rhythm. So I think that's just been the big source of confidence for them, because they probably think, well, ever since we've been committing to Colin Foy as our lead back, we've been a tough team to knock off and beat. So but more so was won every game after that first loss until the last game of the season. So they're not going to be a pushover either.
No. In Class C North, we have a couple rivalry games. Number 7 Waterville is playing at number 2 Winslow. It wasn't a very close game in the regular season. In Week 3, Waterville lost hosting Winslow 57-10. Waterville's first playoff appearance in a few years after going 0-8 last season. They win 3 games this year, so it's good to see the Panthers kind of rebound and get back into the mix. Winslow coming off a couple close games at the end of the season, but still keep doing what Winslow does and winning, and they'll be the number 2 seed in that region. Number 6 MCI playing in their first Class C playoff is going to number 3 Nokomis, playing in their first playoff ever. First playoff game in the history of the school since they started a varsity program in 2007, and getting to host a game. Another kind of rivalry game, as those schools are just separated by one exit on I-95. Yeah. Coach, when you're playing a rival in the playoffs like that, you guys at Lawrence have played Messalonsky a few times. What does it add any extra special juice or incentive to the team? Or the playoffs have got to be their own incentive as it is. But.
Right. Well, it's hard to accurately think about all the kids and what they think, but some kids do tend to kind of think that way about facing a rival in a playoff game. If it's a second time around, maybe it isn't so much of an emphasis, but like you said, having played them in the regular season, then playing them again in a playoff format. So it can be that way, but I think for most teams and for most kids, I think once the game begins, it starts to become just focusing on their job. So that usually kind of disperses as the game starts to unfold.
Yeah. Now, you were a member of some state championship teams at Edward Little as a player. Did you guys ever play Lewiston in the playoffs when you were a Red Eddy?
Well, we didn't have actually. I gotta admit that we didn't have playoffs back when
man.
I played.
Wow. We're going old school.
if we won our division, we were able to move on to automatically advance to the state championship. So I'm being honest here. We didn't have playoffs back when I was playing.
Just a leather helmet and one guard across the mask.
Yeah.
You like it better this way?
But we did face Lewiston in a rivalry game that meant going to the state championship. So, yeah, it definitely added to that.
Okay. In Class D South, Drew, we have Oak Hill and Winthrop in a few big games.
Yeah, Oak Hill faces Wells. It's the 8-1, and, I mean, it's Wells has rolled all season. We were talking at the start when we first started these at the beginning of the year that this might be a competitive class. It really proved not to be as much in terms of that top spot. Wells was the team to beat from the start. But Oak Hill played them tough in a game. It was 41-21 final, but it was tied at halftime. And so I think Oak Hill is that deceiving eighth seed. I mean, they've played a lot of teams tough. They really haven't been you know, waxed in any of their games. So,
sure.
I mean, it would take a big upset to, you know, the 8-1 would be as big an upset as it seems on paper. But I think Oak Hill is going to give them a tough game, be within reach in the second half. Who knows if it'll be, you know, tied in the fourth, something like that. But I think it'll be in contention in the second half. And then with Monmouth and Lisbon is a big emotional game because it's Lisbon beat Winthrop in that instant classic last year in the regional final. And talking to Coach St. Hilaire, he didn't brush off asking, are there any emotions from, you know, playing Lisbon again? And he didn't brush off as, no, it's a different year. He was like, nah, some seniors probably.
No, that.
They want to crack it.
That kind of tattoos them. The yep. soul of yep. it. It stays with you when you lose in such heartbreaking fashion.
And Winthrop is, you know, we talked about how Brunswick was kind of turning into that team that nobody wants to play in Class B. Winthrop might be looking like that team in D South. They've won 3 of the last 4 games. They've started to find a rhythm on offense. Their D line is healthy. So, is it the formula for an upset? Don't know, but it looks like it could be the format for a close game.
Right. The final local game playing is number 7 Deergo going to number 2 Madison in Class D South. Madison's first trip to D for a while since they've been playing up in C for about 6 or 7 years. Coach, your brother is the head coach of Deergo. Have you talked to him about how your seasons are going? Do you guys get to speak much?
Yeah, we do. Talked a little bit about his injury kind of situation that he's been dealing with a little
sure.
bit. And, you know, he's kind of preparing a young group of kids to get ready for this playoff, which he realizes will be a tough task in Madison. But he's pretty confident that he's got some good young players that have kind of filled the shoes of some of the kids that have been injured this season to continue to, you know, make the progress that they've been making.
Okay. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. For Drew, for Coach Ursum, I'm Travis Azarzik. Remember to check us all out on centralmaine.com for all your high school coverage of not just football. Field hockey playoffs are going on, soccer, everything this fall. And we will see you next time on Gridiron Gurus.